Good morning. It's good to be here. Sometimes I tell you what, the body of Christ is the body of Christ, and sometimes we just need to move out in faith and exercise ourselves. You know, and I always have to overcome the fact that I'm not comfortable getting up in front of people to actually say anything. But you know what? It says when you come together and one of you has a psalm, a hymn, it could be just a short word of exhortation. But if it comes from the Lord, are we to exercise ourselves? And, I think it's so easy to so quickly get in a rut and think things are supposed to be a certain way and just rely on whatever we're typically used to and not be seeking the Lord for what he has today. And I think that goes back to last week and the subject about prayer and seeking God. I don't care what generation you're from or you're in or what the circumstances are. Communication with the Lord and looking to the Lord is an absolute necessity. It's part of the Christian walk. We cannot serve God and do what he's called us to do without being in touch with our Heavenly Father. And so because that's so, you know, there's so many things about this Christian walk to come down to a choice. That's the one thing I'm seeing, and I'll say this too. As far as exercising ourselves in any measure, whether it's worship, prayer, reading the word, fellowship, you know, there's a lot of times when we go to do that, we don't feel like doing that. Does anybody here experience that? Okay, and so you're faced, first of all, with your own mind and the opposition of your own mind, not to mention the spiritual works of darkness, the society that we're in right now. To me, one of the things I'm seeing about where we are in this country and all the things that are going on, and just pick an item. If you dwell on that, you're going to get pretty depressed. Listen, God don't want us dwelling on it. We can look at it and pray concerning it, but that's not what dictates what we do and how we perceive God and his faithfulness. Because that can quickly put a shroud or a cloud over everything, and we can be ruled by that rather than being ruled by the Holy Spirit. And if his Holy Spirit is life and he is life, life flows through our spiritual being at the worst time in history. Okay, and if that life is flowing, I tell you, that's the same life that raises people from the dead. It raises people from the dead spiritually, and one day at the last trump, bodies are going to come up out of the ground because God says, come out. He is a powerful God. He's a powerful God, and despite all his power, all his strength, all his omnipotence, he is a God who wants us to understand that he wants to talk to us.
Yes. Yes.
He wants us to understand when he created us in his image, he communed with man.
Yes.
He's still communing with man. Yes. And I don't care how dark it is, God wants to talk to us.
Yes.
He wants to lead us.
Yes.
And of all times, what better time to be in touch with God than now? I don't want to be left to my own devices. I'm bad enough as it is. But put me in this world the way it is now, and I let that just overwhelm me and go with the current. I'm going to be worthless to the kingdom of God. But, you know, part of being a part of his kingdom is, you know, as the word says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. There's a spiritual laying hold of, which includes what we refer to as the fight of faith. Is that what Paul told Timothy? Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. If the Lord gives us choices that we can make that help us lay hold to this truth and faith, he says, you know, it's just like it's almost like he tells us this, and I'm not talking about name it and claim it. What I'm talking about is anything he calls us to do is a supernatural calling.
Yes.
Because it's a supernatural calling, we need supernatural strength.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's going and talking to one person at a store. It doesn't matter. He gives us supernatural ability to maybe just speak to someone or witness to someone. It's the same as him saying, I want you to walk on that water over there. Most of us are not going to voluntarily to go try to walk on water, particularly if we can't swim and it's deep. You're not going to walk on it. And even so, who wants to get wet when you don't want to? Thing of it is, you know, it takes the same power for you just to witness to someone as it does for you to walk on water. It's just as supernatural. You know, and the thing of it is, if the Lord said, I want you to go walk on that water over there, and he told you and you knew it was him, you have the responsibility to walk toward that water and step onto it. Right? If that's what he's called you to do. But one of the thoughts that I've had this week, and it was really became more, I guess this is more like a testimony this morning. I found myself this past week, when it comes to prayer. You know, I think we all have had seasons of prayer, times of prayer, times where we were more focused on prayer. And you, if you have, you know that no matter how hard it was to pray, when you exercised yourself, God showed up. Now, he doesn't always show up just like that, and on the clouds part and all your troubles go away. But when he said, come near to me and I'll come near to you, it's evident when he comes near to us. We are empowered, we're strengthened. Sometimes somebody will say, well, you know, he took the edge off. Yeah, I mean, what God can do is cause us to fix our eyes on him. And sometimes the praying thereof, what it does, it causes us just to look away from what we're looking at and then look to him. And when we look to him, we get from him what he's promised to give us. And it was, again, this is just testimony. I think it was Friday, because I went out. I usually like to walk and pray and go out, and I'm so thankful for the low humidity in the evenings. You know, but it was kind of a breeze blowing through there, and it was getting close to sundown. And I said, Lord, because this is the thing. We need to be transparent with God because he sees everything. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever caught yourself trying to be spiritual and realize it ain't working for me? I'm not spiritual enough. I can't be spiritual enough. First of all, I don't know anything as I ought to know it. So if I'm going to go to God, I can't go because I've earned a big badge of courage or whatever. No, I have to say, God, I'm coming to you and I am weak. I need you, God. You are my Father. I am your child. It is impossible for me to serve you. I can't serve you unless you quicken me and empower me. But see, that's exactly what he's promised to do. And the reason for us having these needs and these weaknesses is so that we know that our help comes from God. Okay, well, I had a really great week spiritually. When I say that, what I'm saying, I'm not complaining. I was more of a challenge. Have you ever noticed some weeks or months or years you experience more opposition? Amen. There are times where the dark gets darker, and it's like, God, I didn't know it was going to get that bad, or it was that bad before, but I never thought I'd get here again, but here I am. I'm back in the abyss. Praise God. You know what? If the Lord brought you there, it's for a reason. It's the goodness of God for us to be able to experience weakness at a level that causes us to cry out to God. Amen. That is God sent. That is heaven sent. That is, and what it was, I was out there walking around, and I said, Lord, you know, this week's been a little rough for me. And you know, I said, Lord, you know, because he does know. I really struggled to even pray to you. In fact, the only thing that I have could come to a conclusion of my week of prayer is this: I am more tensely aware of my need. Out of all the praying, here I am in more of a position than anything. I think, Lord, what is the deal with that? But I remembered something. And I believe, Lord, help me remember it. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Amen. Hunger and thirst is not comfortable. And when you're in a place where you're hungering and thirsting and you're really striving and you're really trying to lay hold of what God has for you, there's a battle going on. It's not easy, you know. And I thought, gosh, and remember the second part of that. First of all, the first part of that promise is blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Didn't it say blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God? That means like almost like spiritually bankrupt. You're in a real place of just devastated need. But if you're hungering and thirsting, the Lord says you're blessed because you will be filled. That means when you're in that position of need, you are the candidate to receive from God what you really need. And if he hadn't brought you to that place, you wouldn't know you needed and cried out for it in the first place. So is that a blessing? Okay, so that was Friday evening. Yesterday evening, I went out. I felt exactly the same way. I felt like the Lord encouraged me the night before, and I should be jumping over the pine trees and all. But no, my flesh is once again, you don't need to pray. You know, the devil will say you don't need to pray. He's a liar. You know one thing he hates? I don't care if you turn to God with the most simple cry, Lord, help me. God hears it. Now, as you hear it, he hears and he answers. That's the God that we serve. Well, here's the second part of my testimony. I'm walking through the trees again. I'm saying, Lord. And, you know, I read too. I know a lot of you people read and have Bible plans as you read. And part of studying the Word and looking to the Lord. A lot of times, you know, the Lord can speak to you through a passage of Scripture that you're reading on a Bible plan. It may not always tend to go that way, but how many of you have been reading just on a Bible plan and you're methodically going through the process and the Lord just, boom, like a light comes on? You ever had that? And you say, Lord, that was you. I'm glad that I made the choice to read today, because I wouldn't have come across that verse. Now, the Lord could have brought it to my mind, yes, and you too. But part of the exercise is keep moving toward God. Keep looking to God. Be sober, be vigilant. Remember, you still need to lay hold of the kingdom, but it's not in your strength. And that's the thing that I keep coming back to, is along with the confession of my need and praying for others in situations, don't be deterred. Be like Jacob. Lord, I will not let go until you bless me. Right? And so, but you know, he had a choice. He got his hip wrestled out of joint, right? He was still fighting. I'll tell you what, though, all the tribes came through him. He became Israel. And we're no different. But back to yesterday evening, you know, the Lord has a way of speaking to us now. Yes, he spoke to Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He spoke to Jesus Christ. He spoke to the prophets, and he spoke through these men. But we are no different. We have the same Heavenly Father, and he wants to help us and wants us to be keenly aware of what he wants to give us, and he wants us to make the choice to keep seeking him. I hope this doesn't sound like some, you got to do this, because I can't do it. But this is why I'm sharing this morning. Went back out yesterday evening, and I thought, okay, I don't carry my phone with me when I pray. You know how these phones are. I feel like throwing them through the woods, you know. But you know what? I thought, Lord, I'm going to read. I'm going to go back to my Bible plan and maybe read while I'm out here talking to you, just to seek you, because I know I need you. Okay, you know where my Bible plan is right now? Chronicles. First Chronicles. If you want to get it, if you hadn't read it, go start the first chapter. You're going to see a list of names and genealogies of names you can't even pronounce. You know, the Word says all Scripture is God-breathed. Well, how do all them names in succession reading, you're reading them and you can't even pronounce them? Is anybody here that can pronounce all them names? Have you ever stopped and said, why am I reading this? Lord, is this really worth reading? I mean, what is it doing for my salvation and me walking with you with all these names that I cannot pronounce? Anyway, I forgot, as I told the Lord I was going to read, that I was still in Chronicles. But I'm going to tell you what I came across. I had forgotten about this. But it blessed me. It helped me. It encouraged me. This is in 1 Chronicles 4. It's 1 Chronicles 4. And if you go to the first, I'm not going to the first of the chapter. We'll start in 9, but the first of it, once again, is the genealogy, the names that are hard to pronounce as you're going through them. But when I got down to verse 9, I almost shouted hallelujah because I had forgotten about this. But when I got to it, I said, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm going to read here now. I'm on Bible Hub here, so I think this is the Berean Study Bible. But NIV, NLT, I mean, they all are very, very similar in what they say. But this is what it says. Now, amidst all these names of people and all this genealogy, this Scripture bears out one person and what happened to him. Why did God put that in there? I think God is so great and so awesome, he left this kind of testimony to encourage us. I mean, it's just name after name, chapter after chapter, name after name. But suddenly, it gets this guy out there, and it talks about him. Verse 9. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Some translations say more pain. It was his birth was very painful. Obviously, he was a man with brothers, so his mother had other children, and most childbirth is painful. Right? His mother had named him Jabez because I bore him in pain. And basically, Jabez means distress and pain. How would you like for your mother to say, you're my son, I love you, your name is distress and pain? That was Jabez. So Jabez is called distress and pain. Okay, but this guy, there's something in this guy. This shows you where he was more honorable than his brothers. And Jabez called out to the God of Israel, if only you would bless me and enlarge my territory, exclamation point. He's asking God for a blessing here. And I do not believe this was a selfish request. This man was in tune with God. This is what it says. May your hand be with me. I think NLT says, in everything I do. This man was concerned about God being with him and him walking with God. Okay, out of all these names and all these people, this one guy shows up and this is what it says about him. May your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I may be free. And this translation says free from pain. His identity and his name, he says, Lord, don't let this be my life. This is not my identity. Lord, help me. And he asked the Lord to help him. He requested God's help in his life and everything that he did. Okay, but listen to the next sentence. And God granted the request of Jabez. A man in a time, and just for whatever reason, the Lord put this in here, no matter what was going on, what his brothers did, didn't do, this man cries out to God, and even though his identity might be one of pain or suffering or whatever, he called on a God that could give him more than that, even what his name meant. And if you think about pain and suffering and distress, I guess one of the reasons this blessed me, look where we're at in society right now. It's a distressing time, but has God changed? Does he hear and answer prayer? Yes. Would he allow us to read something like this so we can say, my God reigns?
Yes.
And I'm going to keep going to him. I'm going to make the choice to go speak to him, to talk to him, to pray to him, to seek to him, because he's promised he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I think, to me, I'm always encouraged because I really believe that. I have seen it in a measure in my life. And at times where I have been more steadfast in prayer, I do not measure up. I have not measured up. I'm just a regular person. I'm a landscaper. Okay? We're just regular people. But all people are regular people, and all people need God. And no matter what your profession is out here, you are fragile. You are worthless without God. And you cannot, even after becoming a Christian, navigate through this Christian journey without the help of God. That's the reason for communion with God. And this fellow here, for whatever reason, this testimony was left us. God left it as a testimony. I remember this man's name. And he's an example for what you can be too. No matter how distressful the situation is right now, keep looking to me. Do not stop looking to me. I have more for you. I'm an all-powerful God.
Amen.
Is God worthy?
Yes.
You know, that was what Gabriel told Mary when he told her that she was going to be pregnant with Jesus. I think that this is the one, and this is what Gabriel says, and not one word of God will fail. That was the promise. Not one word of God will fail. If the Lord loves those who pursue righteousness, and his eyes are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. If his ears are attentive, is he listening right now?
Yes.
I'm talking right now, God is listening for the cries of his people.
Yes.
Right this second, his ears are tuned. That's the kind of God that showed up here. And listen, he's the same God. He wants us to remain steadfast and to keep looking to him and to be confident that not only is he listening, but he's answering.
Yes.
He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that is at work within us.
Amen.
Is that a good promise?
Yes.
It encourages me because when I see how weak I am and how pathetic I am, when I say pathetic, we're all pathetic. We're nothing without Christ. But he loves us. He remembers our frame and he knows we're dust. As a father pities his children, the Lord pities those who fear him. He looks at us with love.
Amen.
Compassion. And a desire for us to know how much he loves us. He wants to commune with us. He's our father. And he's worthy to be praised.
Yes.
That's all I have.